Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by eHarmony. Right now, our listeners can get a free month of eHarmony when they sign up for a three-month subscription. Enter the code GHOST at checkout. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener describes her experience with an entity that preyed on her sadness. A ghost becomes upset when a listener scolds her cat. After watching a movie, a group of friends decided to investigate the house where they're spending the night, and two best friends catch a glimpse of a 19th century soldier while trying to watch a meteor shower. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely.
Good.
We have like a wind explosion going on outside of our studio today, which is a rare occurrence in these parts.
I know. I've gotten so used to it not being this windy that now it really stands out to me when this was just a normal day in Kansas.
It really would have been. I mean, they're blowing and gusting. The difference here that I actually get some concern with is, well, forest fires, because only you can prevent one. And I mean you, just no one else.
Right.
You. It's on you to go out there and do that. But also just there's trees here.
Yeah.
that don't get a lot of wind. So they're pretty stable. There's tons of trees everywhere, but we're just like surrounded by trees that don't get a lot of wind. So when that is windy, I'm always concerned of one just like falling on the house.
Well, the good news is, and kind of the bad news is, we haven't had a lot of rain, so the ground's not saturated to topple them. But
yeah.
The bad news is we haven't had a lot of rain, so somebody, you know, puts their cigarette out their window.
Yeah.
There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's interesting. And the wind going through the trees makes much spookier sounds here.
It does.
Than we ever had in Kansas. It was just kind of like, yep, it's another windy day. Here it sounds like there's a banshee.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Like just screaming and howling. Yesterday, I was like, is there an animal outside my window that's like dying or something? Because I heard this like,
The fox follows you home.
That's what I was thinking. I was concerned that the fox was out there dying.
Uh-huh.
Because I found a zombie fox yesterday in the woods. Actually, I was just driving home. And this fox comes up to my vehicle, does not get out of the road. And normally, they kind of scurry. Mm-hmm. And they're all over here. They're just little red foxes. They're cute. We call them Socks the Fox because they look like they have the, you know,
yeah,
white socks on. This one, though, just didn't care. he didn't give a fuck at all.
This was the falling down fox.
Yes. Yeah. He was like eating something in the road, and I'm coming up to him in my truck, and he just looks up at me and gives me this look and then goes right back to eating.
Well, the picture you put on Facebook is just hilarious because he just looks like he's got such an attitude.
He does. And then he stopped eating whatever was dead in the road. And then he just kind of walks off to the side and doesn't quite give me enough room to go around him without like going in the ditch. And then just kind of walks over, kind of looks up directly at me in my window. And I unrolled my window a second just to like go chew or something. And he just looks at me and kind of makes his nose move. And then I'm like wondering, what's their height jump? How high can they get? Because I'm like, maybe this opening the window is not a great idea. I mean, I'm up fairly high, but, you know, dogs and cats can jump high. And I don't know what kind of height a fox can get. If it's, you know, like if he's wearing Air Jordans, if that makes him go higher, or if just with his paws, he can do pretty good. But so I rolled the window up and he moved a little bit and I got around him. But he looked very mangy. I felt really bad for the little guy. My initial thought was rabies because he didn't care.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting. Those animals are very skittish for the most part. But he didn't care. He was just like, yeah, come and pet me. See if I bite you. And, I don't know, but I called around and I heard he's been here for a while.
Like years.
So yeah. I think that takes rabies out. I'm thinking probably mange. Because he's like missing chunks of fur.
Yeah, and he probably lost the fight or two with other things. So
I just don't think he cares.
No.
He's just there. He's there and he don't care. So that's our neighborhood pet, if you will. Zombie Fox. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And to connect that, I thought he was down here yesterday because I heard that howling and I know how foxes sound. And I thought, oh, God.
Foxes do. They make a sound, despite what people think in the song. They make a crying baby sound.
It sounds like a child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's concerning, but yeah. Let's go to Susan. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I hope the story finds you well. I've never considered myself sensitive to the paranormal. With that being said, I've had strange occurrences throughout my life. So here goes. My brother passed away when he was 10 years old. But a year later, I was visiting my mother for the weekend. When we were lying down, watching TV, we both clearly saw the spirit of a child walk past us. We immediately knew it was my brother, as you could see his curly hair. We were not afraid. We actually felt a lot of peace in that moment. The next time I experienced something paranormal, it was not so pleasant. I shared a room with my sister, so I usually slept on the couch. One night I couldn't sleep. I was just lying there looking into the darkness. Now, my parents' house was set up in such a way that from the living room, you could see through the kitchen into the family room. The family room had two large rectangular windows. There is a point, I promise. Anyway, as I was lying there, I suddenly saw the black shadow of a man walk by. At first, I did not think much about it, just someone cutting through the yard, not thinking that it didn't make sense as the yard was fenced in. About 30 seconds later, I saw him walk past again, going in the same direction. Next night, I made my sister stay in the living room with me, just to make sure I was not imagining things. Sure enough, the next night, the same thing happened. I'm not sure if it was a shadow person or not. The shadow had a crisp outline, and the man wore a hat that seemed to be from the 70s, the type of hat that a businessman would wear. My third story shook me to my core. My grandmother and I were very close, and when she passed, I was absolutely devastated. I felt like my faith in everything was shaken. About a week after she passed, I started seeing her out of the corner of my eye. It looked like her anyway. She was in her favorite nightgown that she always wore and looked as she always did. The only thing was it wasn't her. It felt like something evil. There was something about her eyes that just wasn't right. It truly scared me. This went on for about 2 weeks. I couldn't stand to be at home because that's where it always happened. I kept my cool and acted as if it was not there. Even though I was terrified, it finally did stop. I'd love your opinion on my stories. A brother stopping by for a visit, a shadow person, an entity trying to prey on my sadness. I'm sorry my story was so long. I listen to your show every day, all day at work. Gets me through my day. You're the perfect couple for a show like this. As soon as I'm able to get through the backlog of episodes, I'm absolutely signing up to be an EPP. Love you guys and everything that you're doing for people on your show. Have a great night. Susan.
I think that was very good that she picked up on something being different with Grandma's ghost, that wasn't Grandma. Because we've talked about that before, about things trying to look as close as they can, but being not quite right. And usually that's something very bad.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's a very common thing where it's like, wait a second. And sometimes it's gotten to the point where people can actually identify exactly what's off, not just this feels wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like, and the ear was backwards, or their left leg was like reversed, or they had two right feet, or and it's like, why? That's weird.
Yeah.
And it also seems somewhat unsettling. So I don't think it was Grandma, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. If you are trying online dating, chances are you probably run into a lot of stuff. Lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, random matches that don't turn into dates. I knew one of those once.
Yeah.
And then she called me back, or she messaged me back, and her name was Jenny.
Well, yeah.
I believe when we met, I think we were simultaneously trying two dating online services, correct?
We were.
And I don't think you messaged me back on the one, but you messaged me back on this one. eHarmony.
Yes. On this one, because I felt better about the quality of match with eHarmony.
Yeah. And I very quickly canceled my subscription to the other one. And then we started dating anyhow. So there wasn't a need for it.
Yeah.
But eHarmony is how we met many a moons ago.
Be 9 years in April.
Wow. Thanks for letting me know. Now I'm not going to sound stupid when I'm like, what? How many years is it?
Yeah.
Let me just write that down somewhere. So I'm not. Anyway, I can just reference the show. I'm horrible with numbers.
I know you are. So, it's okay.
Anyway, that's how we met. And it's funny because now, 9 years later, they are a supporter of our program, eHarmony. You can't get to know someone just by looking at a picture. And eHarmony, they you do that personality profile. It goes through, you know, it takes a little bit of time to do it. It's not just here's a picture and a paragraph and let's hope for the best. Their system really matches you unlike any other dating site. They take the steps that other dating sites don't to get you a match and get you possibilities that you are going to be compatible with. They're built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships, not a shallow hookup site. Helped over 1 million people find their perfect match, like us. It was funny because I think one of the questions was, do you believe in ghosts and would you be interested in hosting a ghost podcast?
Not exactly.
In the future when podcasting becomes a thing. You probably don't know what podcast means, but if you like the sound of that, would that be something you'd like to do? And I think I checked I strongly agree.
Yeah, but you know what? It was such a dead-on match that we were engaged after 5 months.
Yeah.
Everybody thought we were nuts, but it proves
people still
it works.
Do. eHarmony brings compatible people together. Plenty of hookup sites out there. This is not what they are. Right now, our listeners can get a free month of eHarmony when they sign up for a 3-month subscription. Just enter our code GHOST at checkout. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love. eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter our code GHOST at checkout. It's funny, there's an app, you know, for it now, and there has been for a while. But back in our day,
no, there wasn't.
It wasn't an app.
No.
I mean, you had to go to the website, and now it's like it's so convenient. You could sit there obsessively checking it anytime you want now.
Yeah.
And I don't even know. I mean, I understand kind of. I think how dating apps work, like the what they reference the hookup.
Sure.
Well, I don't think those didn't exist back then. But here you go. Check it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there you go. They were like, why are they always on this? I remember back then it did say like the last time the other person was active, I think is.
I think so.
So you
knew whether or not they just hadn't seen your reply.
Yeah, which was good.
Yeah.
And then when they didn't reply, then you're like, they must hate me. But no. But you, I think we reply to each other pretty quick for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could go back and get those messages.
I know.
I don't know if I ever saved them anywhere. Part of me thinks I did, but then we're talking again how many years ago, and it's on like some previous computer in a closet somewhere. But maybe someday when I'm old and just tinkering with my computers, I'll like, look at this. That'll be how grandma and grandpa find their original love letters to each other. How it used to be like in a shoebox somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's tinkering on a computer and you find it in a digital folder in a file. And there it is saved. I could see that happening.
I could see that too.
So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Molly writes in, hello there, Tony and Jenny. This is Molly from Central New York. I am a huge fan of the show and a very proud EPP member. I've called in once before, but I feel that Tony has the perfect voice for radio and storytelling. Be sure to say that in a nice, smooth, jazz-like voice, Tony. Tony has the perfect voice for radio and storytelling. How's that? You're listening to Smooth Jazz 93.5.
You sound like Grover.
That's kind of sound. You're listening to Smooth Jazz 93.5. Now, here's more Dana Crawl. Is that how you say your last name?
I don't even know.
It's one of those artists I see the CD of like, how do you say your last name? Am I saying this correctly? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Jim Brickman is coming here in December, by the way.
I saw that.
That's just so you know. Okay. Anyways, here's my story of one of the ghosts in a house who loves cats, apparently. Now, I believe we have two ghosts residing in my boyfriend's house. Family and friends have claimed to see a woman in the window upstairs and standing in their bedroom in the middle of the night. The other is a man who hangs out at the top of the stairwell. They both have many stories regarding their spooky appearances. I myself have never seen either spirit, but that doesn't stop them from making me aware of their presence. So my cat, Hades, is a black cat who I adopted this past fall. I've never owned a cat, so I failed to understand how curious felines can be. In this case, curiosity could have really killed the cat, as the saying goes. It was in the evening. I was doing some cleaning in our small living room on the second floor. I have the upper window open to let some fresh air in. The window, unfortunately, has no screen, and Hades decided to get a sneak peek while my back was turned. I turn back around, and he's trying to jump out of the window. I run, grab him, and he's, being a cat, clings to the couch, which sits directly next to the window. After a fun little struggle, I gave him a slight tap on the butt to get him the hell out of the room. So I continued tidying up, mumbling to myself about how my cat is a jerk and so on. Now, above our couch is a liquor shelf. Sounds weird, I know, but we don't have room for a cabinet. On it are various bottles of booze, glasses, and a large drink shaker. While I was straightening up, still grumbling after my cat, scared the ever-living shit out of me, the large metal drink shaker came flying from the right side and hit me hard in the arm. There's no way it would have fallen from above my head and hit me on the right side. I stopped immediately trying to understand what the hell just happened. I even tried a few test jumps to make sure that the shelf wasn't wobbly. After a minute or so of confusion, I started talking out loud to the room. Listen, I didn't hurt him. I love my cat. Just don't really want him jumping out of the window. I appreciate that whoever is here loves my cat, but hopefully next time the drink mixers gets thrown at me, it's being used for a party. Thank you so much for this amazing show. You both keep me laughing. It makes my day when you sing, Tony. So please sing a little George Michael or something. Love you both. Keep it going. P.S. Ghostbusters is one of my favorite movies. Throw a quote in there for me, too, if you can.
Don't sing or quote. I'm teasing. I left it in there. So what are you going to say?
I can't really think about it. I can choose any George Michael song I choose.
Probably if you didn't sing, that'd be best. But I was just thinking, what quote?
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
I like that.
That's the only one I can really think of. I'm bad at quoting movies. Mm-hmm. I'm good at singing George Michael. How about that? That would have been a great line. You know, like back in the day on like eHarmony, where it'd be like a little like line. What if that was my my little quotation right underneath my picture?
I would have laughed and I probably would have been interested just because it was your profile being funny that made me curious to talk to you.
That would have been a good line. I'm bad at quoting movies. I'm good at singing George Michael. Must have been kissing a fool.
Nice. Okay,
that's not a good one. But anyway, I think that's all you get because I can't really think of what to sing. So,
no.
Sorry. What if I put some karaoke music on? That'd be... It would get our video flagged on YouTube, yeah. And then we'd, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Dustin, I don't believe in ghosts. It's not to say I'm anti-ghost or I actively believe they do not exist. I just have yet to experience anything to convince me that they do, nor have I experienced anything to convince me that they don't. The reason for this has to do with the possible EVP. Until I can explain definitively what the source of it was, I have no choice but to keep my mind open to various possibilities. All I know for sure is that the voice my friends and I heard was not one of ours. This was about 10 years ago. There were three of us. We'd gotten together to watch a movie. It was late by the time it ended, and we got to talking about urban legends, ghost hunting shows, and basically anything that might give us the chills. We're in the basement of my friend's father's house, and she told us she could hear moving around the upstairs when her father and stepmom were sleeping. I quickly explained that it was most likely her dad waking up to get some water or go to the bathroom. She said that wasn't the case. It only happens at night. At some point, the three of us went into the other room to use a computer. This was before we all had computers in our pockets. We listened to supposed recordings of EVPs and were not impressed. Who were these people? How do we know the files haven't been altered? Why would anyone trust them? Maybe we should record our own. "Do you hear that?" my friend asked, pointing at the ceiling. The floorboards above us were creaking. It sounds like footsteps. I told her so. She shook her head. "That's the guest room. It's empty. No one would be walking around in there." I shrugged and continued researching EVPs. The creaking eventually stopped. While discussing how best to go about recording one of our own, my friend excused herself to use the bathroom upstairs. My other friend and I were taking notes on the kinds of questions you should ask when attempting to capture ghostly voices. When she returned, "Did you hear me?" she asked. We didn't know what she meant. "Hear what? Flushing? Washing your hands?" I was walking around in the guest room. That we did not hear. The creaking had started again. That was it. We're going to find out if her dad's house was haunted or not. The three of us went back into the movie room, this time carrying a cassette recorder and a small desk fan. According to our notes, it was a good idea to have some white noice going on while recording. Voices would almost come through the white noise. We set everything up and started asking questions. Between each question, we looked at each other to make sure none of us was messing around. This went on for about 5 minutes, and after recording, we huddled together and played the tape back. The fan was louder than expected, but you could still hear our voices clearly. The one question I remember asking was, "Is there someone here with us now?" The reason it is the only one I remember is because it was the only question not to be followed by white noise. Instead, there was an answer, a voice through the sound of the fan that said, "Yes."
That is pretty clear-cut evidence of an EVP and something going on. So just be careful when you are staying the night at somebody's house and you decide, "Hey, let's investigate this house. There might be something there."
Just screwing around his kids. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have a lot of equipment. We certainly didn't have, I mean, I know everybody has a recorder on their phone now.
Sure. The closest thing we had was like the Home Alone Talk Boy thing.
If you even had that.
Yeah.
And not a lot of us had those things. I mean, I think a lot of us, it was just like a boom box. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, you know, unless you're carrying it on your shoulder and walking around, which I don't think any of us really did. You didn't really pick up much.
No.
That would be an interesting take on ghost hunting. You'd be like an 80s themed ghost hunter and you get all your stuff on the boombox that you're carrying on your shoulder at all times.
You can carry it on your shoulder. You just stand with it over your head, say anything style.
You could do that too. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And ask the ghost questions, but you have to be wearing the exact same outfit that was worn and say anything. and you have to only do it in people's backyards.
Okay.
That's.
Yeah. Don't think that's going to be very productive.
Be really interesting themed ghost hunters. That would get you to stand out because it's interesting. There's so many, you know, ghost hunting groups out there today. I was talking with this with somebody the other day who had a haunted situation for the Grave Talks podcast, and we're talking, you know, it's almost like calling, you know, Roto-Rooter, you know, to get your plumbing looked at or something.
Yeah.
Or an electrician or whatever. You have a choice now. It used to be like, well, there's a ghost hunting group. 85 miles from here that mm-hmm. might be interested in coming. And if you're really rural, sure. But any place of any semblance of population, you can find a couple that will be able to come in and look at what you ever have, whatever you have going on. It's just interesting that even exists.
Yeah.
With that many people and that many options. And that's where I'm saying, if you want to stand out,
be a themed
ghost hunting group, not just we wear black shirts and black caps and go around. Take it up a notch. Go for a theme. Go for a
why not
is really the question.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna be productive.
80s themed ghost hunters.
I think that might trip up the ghost. Maybe it would make more activity happen.
Hey, what if it doesn't have to be 80s theme. What if it's the themed ghost hunters that go in and they're dressing for whatever. You don't want these ones. These guys are really modern. You want the ones that look like they're from the 60s. And maybe they suspect the ghosts are from the 60s. And if they go in looking and acting like people from the 60s, maybe you'll get them to come out easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could be.
It's like Civil War reenactment areas, like literally where the Civil War took place and where battles took place. They tend to sometimes get more haunting activity when the reenactors are showing up, mm-hmm. making them feel a little more at home, or
sure,
this is our time. I might be onto something with a kind of a stupid comment that actually somewhat makes sense.
That's usually how things go.
There you go. I like that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Marcy writes in, "Dear Tony and Jenny, just a quick one today I want to share before I forget the story again. With the stories in my life, this is one of the more uneventful ones, so I don't often remember it. In a podcast I was listening to, you read a story from someone who talked about seeing a ghost car going backwards down a road, thinking maybe it was a time loop or something, and the caller wanted to know if anyone had a similar experience. Me. I was driving between Wisconsin to central Illinois through a flat urban area. Don't have any idea if I was near an airplane or not, but next to the road was a huge field and a couple of tree lines. The highway curved, it was mostly straight and then curved again. However, in the past, I've driven past large international airports many times and do know how takeoffs and landings look. I was talking on the phone with a friend when the conversation slowed because low in the sky above the field next to me, I was looking at the end of a silver, strange-looking passenger airplane. And as I curved around on the highway to the straight, I was shocked. I know there are optical illusions, especially with the horizon. I still swear the moon is bigger at the horizon, but this didn't make sense. The plane appeared low to the ground, like if it was coming in for a landing. It was bright silver, round-bodied, antique, large passenger airplane. To me, it looked big enough to cross the ocean. At first, I was mostly surprised by the plane itself, but then I was shocked when I realized the plane wasn't moving. Now, I know if the propellers were spinning or not. I was talking to my friend, reporting on what I was seeing, driving too dangerously because I was staring. He told me to try and match it with the horizon to see if it was moving. I already had, and it wasn't. I swear to God, it was hovering, and it wasn't designed to stand still. At 65 miles an hour, I was moving around it. The straight road then curved sharply towards the left, so the plane was coming straight at me, if it had been moving, but again, it didn't appear to be. As I was reporting to my friend, I looked out the other window of the car and saw a large black helicopter heading towards the airplane, just like you hear about in all the X-File type stories. This made me actually believe that what I was witnessing was an actual hovering plane. My first thought, as was my friend's, was that I was witnessing some strange time loop or something similar. The road then straightened out again in such a way that I couldn't watch it anymore. Warmest.
So, I'm not at all surprised of the prospect of seeing an old plane flying, and it may be a paranormal thing. I mean, obviously there's old planes that fly all the time, but it's kind of like, could it be a paranormal? But the whole floating and not moving thing is what really mm-hmm. boggles my mind.
Could it have been one of those businesses that like has a plane mounted on a large pole above it and it was just kind of sitting there?
Could have been.
You know, and at the right angle and the right trajectory, yeah. It just kind of looks like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that because there's a number of different organizations that do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes like, I can't think of any right now, but I know I've seen that several times.
EAA.
Yeah.
Pretty much any military organization.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that. I'm assuming that she had made this trip before.
Sure.
And that this was not something that is usually on that path. But I don't know. But wouldn't that be creepy, though, to see a ghost plane flying?
And then the X-Files helicopter flying towards it to investigate. And nope, nothing to see here. That didn't happen.
Well, but see, a lot of times when you see those, I guess, mounted planes, for a lack of a better term, a lot of times there's a helicopter there, too.
Sure. But the helicopter was moving.
The helicopter was moving.
The helicopter was heading in the direction of the ghost plane. Creepy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, and if it turns out that it was just one of those mounted things, it would be really interesting then to know exactly what track of road that was on, to be like, drive down this road and look how creepy this appears. I mean, yeah, it's an optical illusion, but it appears to be this.
Sure.
And, you know, just as a fun story. But
yeah.
Ghost plane. Thank you for sharing that. Lauren writes in, my grandparents live in a small town out of the country in Montana, and my best friend, I'll call her May for this story, lived in a town about 20 minutes away. May and I have grown up together from the time we were babies, and our families adopted each other, or each of us, as their own. We were both horse-obsessed growing up, so being best friends, naturally, we kept our horses together at my grandparents' land. The area in which they live was inhabited by Native American tribes and is close to where Canyon Creek Battlefield is, which was a war between the Nez Perce tribe and the colonial Sturgis in the 7th Cavalry. I just learned this fact today as I was getting ready to write this. Anyways, around 10 years ago, we were about 15 in the summer. Once my grandma was in the nursing home, my grandpa would go out of town with his four-wheeler club. My mom, May, and I would all stay the night at my grandpa's. This particular time, there was a meteor shower, and May and I had never seen one. So our plan was to watch it on the back of our horses riding bareback so that we could lay back on them and watch. My grandparents' place was perfect for this, as there was no city lights, so the meteors could be seen clearly. A little further, a little after the sunset, the time where you can still see things and some shadows, we were goofing off and riding around the pasture until the shower started. And we got to the portion of the pasture where the highway intersects. My grandparents' land and the neighbor's land, both of our horses, started to get kind of panicky. They started prancing and tossing their heads like they wanted to run away. May and I thought it was weird, but we had heard coyotes yipping and howling, so we thought maybe that was what had upset them. From the corner of my eye, I suddenly saw what I can only describe as a man in old military garb, like what you see Custer wearing. In the brief moment, I saw him, and it looked as though he was limping and holding an arm up, like you would if it were injured. As he limped along the fence dividing the neighbor's land, I looked over quickly and got a glimpse of the man for a second before he disappeared. I asked May if she had seen what I did, and she said she had, and described him as I'd seen exactly. At that point, we were so spooked, we ran the horses back to the barn and decided to watch from the house. We got the horses in the barn, and I ran into the tack room to get them some treats. We kept up by the big picture window on the shelf to get the horses to stay in the lean-to. As soon as I reached up in the window to grab the bag, a large white hand hit the window and stayed for a moment before sliding off. Where the hand had hit was around 8 feet up. I screamed, and so did May, who followed me into the tack room. We heard shuffling across the cement pad in front of the door to the tack room that leads to the back of the house. My mom, ever the warrior, had insisted that we take a walkie-talkie so that we could check in throughout the night, as she stayed in the house and went to bed early. She's only 5'2", so there's no way the hand was her, but we called in scared and asked her if she had smacked the window. Irritated that we woke her up, she told us no, she hadn't. May and I decided we had had enough and ran into the house as quick as possible, leaving all the lights on in the barn. The next morning, we went back to the grain and water and get it for the horses, and decided to go look at the window to see if there were footprints that might have been left by whatever or whomever hit the window. What we saw sent shivers down our spines. The entire front of our tack room, minus the cement slab at the entrance of the tack room, was mud, and there was not a single footprint in front of the window or any mud on the cement where we had heard the shuffling the other night. We don't know to this day who visited us. There's some more stories they'll share later. Sorry for the long story.
So, do you think it being the soldier followed them back?
I think he was on the horse, and that was how he was up so high, and yeah.
Could be.
I think that explains why it was such a high handprint on the window.
Like his own horse, or like their horses?
His own.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he rode up and was back there, and yeah. I think
he followed them back then.
I think he's riding around the area.
Wow. It's weird.
There you go.
Do you think meteor showers have anything to do with heightened activity?
I don't know. I never really, I don't know. I have no knowledge of that. That's not to say that there isn't data or information on such a thing. I just don't know.
I don't know either.
I do know. She'll be riding wildfire.
That's nice.
She'll be riding wildfire. This is where we do the...
No, as soon as I start talking, then you start singing again.
She'll be riding together. Wah! Come on, join in.
I'm not going to join
in. I'm going to hold like Kenny G.
No.
I can do the circular breathing.
That's... No.
I've learned circular breathing just to do a really long holdout on the eye of wildfire.
Do we have another story?
What if that was in my eHarmony profile?
That might not have made me want to talk to you.
I have learned circular breathing just to do a really long extended note of the eye in Michael Martin Murphy's classic hit song, Wildfire. Click to reply.
No.
Block. Mm-hmm. Stephanie says, in December of 2000, my husband and I went to England and visited the Roman Wall in Haltwhistle. Since it was the middle of December and the middle of nowhere, there wasn't many places to visit. Our host at the B&B suggested we take the train to Carlisle and visit the castle. Some background on the castle so the rest of the story makes sense. Carlisle Castle sits on the border of England and Scotland and has been occupied since about 1092. In the 1960s, it was converted into the headquarters for the Border Regiment, so the only original parts of the castle are outside the battlements and some areas built into them. It was also a prison for a while. The main center is several fortified trenches built with areas where they would put guns so they'd shoot through the gaps in the stone. We wandered around and looked at the swords, armor, and military displays. I even climbed the stairs to the tower and walked the battlements. My husband stayed below. Then my husband said he wanted to visit the fortified trenches. He went down the half dozen steps down and started to follow them, and then I had to stop. I could not go down the stairs. I knew that if I went down the stairs, I would fall. I can't say how I knew, but I absolutely was certain. It was the same for all the trenches or stairs after that. I could not go down them. I felt like I was going to be pushed. He put it down. He put me down above me being nervous. He knows I don't like stairs, especially uneven stone ones. But this was very different. He asked why, and I just said, I can't go down there. Went into the gift shop later and chatted with a fellow who was there. Since there were only tourists there, he asked us about what we had visited. Then he asked if we'd seen the ghost that haunts the stairs. The story was that a pregnant woman was found walled up in one of the stairwells during a renovation. Nobody knew who she was. Her spirit would make people afraid to go up and down the stairs. They felt like they were going to be pushed down. We told him what I had felt in the trenches, and he said, yes, that was her. We had no idea of the history of the castle or the ghost or anything before we visited, as it wasn't on our travel itinerary. My husband felt nothing, and I didn't feel anything when I initially climbed the tower, but after that, every staircase made me nervous. I think she was laughing at her latest victim. I've always had an interest in the paranormal, but this was the only time I can say I experienced something that I could have... It could have been my active imagination.
I don't think it was her imagination. I mean, there's no way she would have known the story about the pregnant lady in the wall, which is weird and creepy.
It's pregnant lady in the wall.
Don't do that.
It's kind of a creepy one.
That's a very creepy one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where it's there's a level of sensitivity she was picking up. What?
I just have that stuck in my head now.
What?
It's a pregnant lady in the wall.
A pregnant lady in the wall.
That is so wrong.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
How does the song begin?
No, I don't know. I know there's at least one more story.
All I know is like the chorus. Matt says, hi, guys. My name's Matt. I live in Melbourne, Australia. A few years ago, I was working at a systems integrator during security and audiovisual work. One of our clients had recently moved into a heritage listed home in the outer city area. It was a three-story home built in the late 1800s with a watchtower sitting atop. It's previously been used as office spaces and early on in its history, an embassy of some sort. Rumors were that the family had purchased it for cheap as the previous occupants and claimed it was haunted by a young girl who had fallen from the watchtower. I'm somewhat of a skeptic myself, but had a few experiences since that. I've started to change my mind, hence my recent fascination with your podcast. Anyways, it wasn't uncommon for clients to leave me at work alone in their houses while they were away at work, and this is what these clients would do. A few times I remember walking up the old stairwell to the second story and hearing footsteps following me up the stairs behind me, or just feeling someone there with me while I worked away. This is something another employee later said happens to him when he would drop off stock to me. I never told him about this happening to me. They had a somewhat troublesome teen son, so they invested heavily in an advanced security system with PIR readers in every main walkway and door. We constantly had to change or service the PIR in the landing heading to the watchtower, as it would set off the alarm in the middle of the night. After numerous changeovers, cable continually tests, and eventually a complete rewire of the problem never ever would go away. They ended up completely disabling the troublesome reader. The biggest fright I got working there was one day I was alone in the upstairs hallway installing a new point. I dragged a small table into the middle of the hallway to rest my tools on. I didn't need much on me, but I had my cable crimps, plaster saw, and screwdriver with me. I grabbed my plaster saw, cut into the new plasterboard, which was installed during the massive renovations the clients underwent before they moved in. There was a huge crash behind me. Startled, I turned around to see my crimps and screwdrivers on the floor behind me as if they'd both been pushed off the table. The crimps themselves are quite heavy, so no breeze or anything would be able to push them off. No one else was home at the time. I hurriedly finished the small job I had to do and left. I remember hearing the footsteps follow me down the stairs as I left the house that day. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I'm enjoying the podcast thoroughly and will become an EPP member when I catch up on the backlog of episodes.
I figured people in that line of work, meaning, you know, installing security systems and things like that, would probably have some stories, because sometimes things set stuff off and there's nothing there.
Yeah, and then people are wanting to know why they're hearing this or that. Is there something going on? And then you get a security system and it turns out you just have a ghost that's showing up on the monitor. Which is better, knowing that it's a ghost that's showing up on your security system or just hearing it?
I don't know.
And thinking, squirrels.
Yeah. I don't know. I think once somebody tells you it's a ghost, there's no going back on that.
What if you got something on the monitor, but it was a ghost squirrel?
I'd be okay with a ghost squirrel.
But it was wearing a sweater.
I would be definitely okay with that.
A ghost squirrel wearing a sweater?
Mm-hmm. But your freaky fox down the road, I don't want to see him after he dies.
What if that? What if he already is dead? What if he really is a zombie, but we just think it's like rabies or mange, but he's really the Walking Dead. He's, because I swear he looks like he's from the show.
I know. Yeah,
he's a walker.
Yeah,
he's gonna, yeah, that would be creepy.
That would be very creepy.
Yeah, with foxes, would you have to kill him? Get it, be like anything else, it's the brain.
I don't want to talk about how you have to put down a fox.
No, not a regular fox, a zombie fox.
I know. I don't want to talk about how you have to put down a zombie fox.
You don't want to talk about how you put down a zombie fox. Put down a zombie fox. But if he was wearing a sweater, that's what he really needs. Because of all the mange and missing the fur, that would be great if we could get him a sweater. It would really make him look a lot better.
And the thing is, they make dog coats. You could totally dress dog sweaters, all kinds of stuff. You could find one that fits him.
Just the issue would be getting to him to get it on him without getting bit.
Yeah.
I'll think about that. Avery writes in, "Hi, Jenny and Tony. Love the show. I'm an EPP calling a little while ago about my house. Tony played it on the episode, I think, in March, and he did by himself. So, like I said, my family lives in a family estate in a small town in a secluded area outside of Boston. After my grandfather passed, the house is becoming more decrepit at an abnormal rate, no matter how much work we put in and how many people we must maintain it. And I'm pretty sure my grandfather still roams the house. But after I called, some weird things started happening to me. One night I was walking up to my bedroom on the second floor and I turned on the lights down our long hallway. At that moment, I saw a great black mass dart across the ceiling into the guest bedroom at the end of the hall. I was a little freaked out, so I grabbed my pit bull, put us in my room, slammed the door, and went to bed. A couple of days later, I forced my then boyfriend to come over to my house for a week since my dad had left to visit my mother, who was in Florida for the winter. The first night he stayed over, I made him hang out in my room while I was in my shower, since I don't love being by myself in the house. Now, Jesse, who was my boyfriend at the time, is sensitive, and I had only told him that I thought my grandfather sometimes comes around to visit and slams doors. It had been a while since I had mentioned anything about it and didn't tell him about the black mass. When I got out of the shower, came out of the bathroom in my towel, he looked at me and said, "Let's go down into the basement. Our basement is a converted apartment that we mostly hang out in since it's very comfortable." I asked why he was in such a rush, and he just urged me not to ask, and let's go with my dog. So I got on my PJs, headed downstairs. When we got downstairs, he told me that he had heard footsteps up on the third floor, which is also a bedroom. He said it wasn't like the regular presence he had typically felt to be my grandfather. At this point, I was a little more than freaked, but he said that I shouldn't freak out since it was just hanging upstairs, and he didn't feel anything following us. When this began to escalate with the other things, he had just sold a chunk of land next door to our estate to a friend and developer. He was digging a new well. Just a little factoid about this land, our house, and this land we have sold off are the only residences in these 4-mile stretch of valley located in our town. So when my mother returned to Florida with her horses and I began helping her with the barn, I've had someone calling my name in my mom's voice. Or I heard someone calling my name in my mom's voice. The first time it happened, I was in the garage grabbing something in the garage, which is a good 30 feet away on top of the valley ridge. I yelled back to her, but she'd been inside the barn and came running out thinking something was wrong. I asked her if she called me. She looked at me puzzled, so I just brushed it off. But now it happens at least once a week. I'll be home outside by myself or home alone, and I'll hear someone calling my name, mimicking different family member voices. But also my dad has been complaining more about hearing footsteps and strange noises he's never heard before when no one is home during the day or in the middle of the night whenever one is asleep. We've lived here for a long time, so I do believe that my dad is telling the truth, especially since he's a hardcore skeptic. But I have a theory. My town is almost 400 years old, and it took all the way to my family just 22 years ago to develop this area. And there's a full river and cold water spring under our house, along with some natural limestone. Something about this valley traps things here. And before, it was okay because it was just us who lived here. But now, because we've allowed people to develop more homes on the land, something is being stirred up. I do not know. I'd love to hear what you have to think. Sorry for the long story, and thanks again for listening to my first story. You guys have a great day. Keep up the good work. Avery.
It's a very good point with being a 400-year-old town and only in 20 years has anybody tried to develop it. I kind of wonder if there's some history that they don't know about the land and people are just like, no, don't put anything there.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things where there might have been something else there. There might have been a tragedy there. There might have been, you know, nothing physically there, but something happened there. And it was just like, nope, don't do it.
But yeah,
there's only so much information you're going to have in 22 years. Mm-hmm. And then what anyone's going to have in the last handful of years prior to that.
Sure.
Of why people do things. So creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us here on today's episode. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up directly through the site and get all the access there to the content, or you can go through Patreon. The link is all there at ghostpodcast.com. Help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.